Welcome, 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 counselors. This is Taos Counselor Jim Deacon coming to you with another episode of A Few Minutes with the Counselor. Today, episode 181, we're going to spend a few minutes talking about what's new in our world, Zoom video conferencing. It seems like that I haven't done a whole lot, and I'm doing a lot right now. So we're going to talk about the pros and cons, things that I've noticed, and ways to reduce what we call Zoom fatigue or Zoom being worn out from Zoom. That's going to be our topic for our podcast today. Before we get into it, if you like what you hear, you like what you listen, like what you see, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast channel. You can do that Anchor, Stitcher, Google Play, all your favorite podcast sites. If you're listening to it or watching this on YouTube, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Again, everything that I have usually lives at www.tejascounselor.com. Hope you can join me. Send me a review, a like. That would be great. Okay, Zoom fatigue. I'm Simon here. It is a beautiful afternoon. It is just about lunchtime here in Texas where I record this. And just want you to know, I've just finished 4 Zoom meetings. This is before lunchtime. We have a lot of PLC meetings and a lot of meetings that we are in as counselors. And I'm probably averaging 3 to 4 Zoom meetings per day. And I was getting finished with those, and I was worn out. We were going back to back, 9, 10, 11, 8, 9, 10, 11. And we were just flat worn out from everything that's going on. And when I got finished with them, I felt like I was worn out from a whole day of work. And I really just been kind of sitting here taking notes, paying attention. And I kind of noticed some things going on with me. So I started doing some things. One of the things that I noticed, especially in a Zoom or a conference, when there's all those multiple people up on the screen, it's hard for this little brain to focus on exactly who I'm supposed to be focusing on. You know, as a counselor, we're always looking for those nonverbal cues. And having those little screens and those little things have really been aggravating. Again, another thing that has caused me is I'm easily distracted when I'm sitting in a Zoom meeting. I have paperwork next to me. I have books. I have my phone. I can check some things. And just the mental wear and tear of trying to keep up with a conversation in a Zoom meeting has been hard for me as an adult. And imagine if you got a kid doing 3 or 4 Zoom meetings per day as well. So, you know, an article was kind of been circling through the web called Zoom Fatigue. How can we reduce Zoom fatigue? It came went out on BBC.com by Manu Jing, and we'll talk about some different things. And I really wanted to share some things that we did, the tips and strategies that they talk about during that article, and the things that I've noticed as I've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings, and hopefully it will help you as a counselor. First of all, counselors are all relational. We want to see the face-to-face. We want to have that conversation. We want to read body language, and we really can't do that when we're in a Zoom meeting. And so it's never going to be the same. Face-to-face counseling is very, very, you know, we're all accustomed to face-to-face counseling. And this online counseling or this online conversation is very, very difficult for me to kind of grasp and understand. And I know a lot of you might be coming to do that. You know, there's some reasons for that. And I want to give you about 10 of them. First of all, like I just said, we're all built for face-to-face communication. The human body, the human condition, we want to have face-to-face conversations. And when we don't know exactly how we're supposed to handle all that. So, you know, these are some of the cues from the article and some things that I've come up with as well. You know, we have to look a whole lot harder for all the body language and the cues and the things that we're not getting when we're doing face-to-face when you're in a Zoom meeting, you know. You're also a little bit disconnected from your body and your location. You're seeing a face, but you're not seeing the rest of the body. I always like about the dog that we have at the house, Binky. Binky is wonderful because when I'm putting something in the trash can, she sees it drop, but then she looks on the floor to say, oh, it didn't hit the ground, and where is it? And the same thing is true when we're in these Zoom meetings. You're only seeing a part of the person that you're able to do, and that's kind of frustrating. The other thing is that you have to realize the computer is now watching you. You're not just watching TV. The computer is watching you. So you have that performance anxiety to be able to, you know, you're on camera, you want to perform, you want to do those things. Those are all things that are causing you stress and different things. And one of the things that I really didn't notice, and I got this from the article, human conversation enjoys a quietness or a lag in a conversation when you're doing face-to-face because maybe somebody stops talking, they drink their coffee or their water bottle, and they're doing something. And that's kind of a normal conversation piece. But with Zoom and video meetings, that lag of noise or conversation is very, very disheartening. It causes anxiety in people, and we really want you to be able to do that. So it was a lot of interesting things, so different things that I came up with that I wanted to talk about, and I've noticed that as well. You know, it also is going to show you, the Zoom is going to show you that what you're missing. If you're in a PLC meeting with your teachers, you're sitting there subconsciously going, oh, I see them. But what am I missing? I should be in my building with my teachers, with my kids, with my students, and you're not able to do that. So some things that are really, really important that I want you to do and kind of talk about is is, you know, try to use Zoom, but try to use Zoom, you know, the way I think to give you some opportunities to do that. So I'm going to give you 4 or 5 different things that I've learned from Zoom and that I also got from the article. In other words, from BBC.com was Zoom fatigue. Look that up and search it. The first thing that I'm going to say is get your computer off that grid view or that gallery view. I've noticed that it's been really easy for me to not know what to focus on with everything, with all those faces on the screen. And so what I've tried to do, number one, is put it on speaker view, where the only person speaking is filling up the screen and everybody else is around the outside, you're not even seeing them. Okay, participate maybe in the chat a little bit too. So you want to eliminate a lot of the distractions on your screen. So for me, I got rid of gallery view and I started going to speaker view, and that seems to help a little bit, especially because the host is the one that's going to be on it the most. And that seems to have helped me with my fatigue and my distractions and to be able to do that. The second thing that I really want you to tell you is your mind is going to wander during these Zooms. It's okay. You're going to be able to do some things. So don't fight yourself to try to make this 100% concentration every single moment that you want to give yourself the opportunity. Your brain can kind of deviate a little bit. I was just in a Zoom meeting and my wife texted me and said her headphones weren't working in her Zoom meeting. So I grabbed her headphones, I plugged them in there, I made sure they worked, and you know, I'm still kind of paying attention. So it's okay if your mind wanders a little bit when you're in a Zoom meeting. So we want you to be able to do that. Also want you to try to avoid some distractions that you have. You know, the books, the technology, the things that you have around your computer, you know, put your phone over, and so it's not causing you that urge if somebody pops in with a text that you see it all the time. Put it on silent so they don't know that you're getting a text. You can wait a couple of minutes and avoid that distraction as it's been a little bit helpful for you. And so, you know, I just mentioned it a minute ago, headphones are really, really important, or I have found them very, very important for me because it allows me to kind of focus a little bit even when my eyes aren't focused necessarily on the topic. And so that's really, really good for you. That has really helped me kind of not be so tired and so worn out from doing a bunch of Zooms. And so one other thing that I really want to talk about, you want to kind of lengthen, give yourself the limit. This is from the article at BBC.com on Zoom fatigue, that you should also limit the number of the length of your Zooms. Give yourself a little bit of break between Zooms. Like ours are going 8 to 8:45, 9 to 9:45. Get off that 15 minutes. You want to set a time, a beginning and an end, just like any meeting. You don't just want to leave it open-ended. Set a beginning and an end so you can get yourself off that. And so you want to limit the Zoom's length, you know, develop a start and finish time that's really, really good. One thing that is really annoying to me last week, it's not annoying to me this week, is that cameras are optional. Some people just aren't comfortable with the camera option and they might turn off the camera or they might do some things. It's okay to do that. Another option is, besides the camera, is put the computer on the side to your left or to your right so you're not looking at it all the time. It's like you're listening to a podcast. You're listening to it, but you're not distracted by everything that's going on with the computer to check your email. Set it to the side so you can still be involved in that. It's a great idea. Another thing you want to try to do, and this is really kind of funny, is this Zoom meeting actually necessary? You know, I've been doing what I call on the porch meetings with my kids on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and just getting together and Zooming and checking on their well-being, and it's been kind of fun. But then I realize if they're doing a bunch of Zoom meetings, they're probably a little tired of them as well. So I'm going to cut that back to once a week. So is your Zoom or in the conversation really necessary to be able to? Can you do it with a Google Drive conversation? Can you do it with an email chain? Can you do some different things? Another thing that I want to talk about is develop a time or a transition between it. If you have back-to-back Zooms, you're going to need to get up, go get a drink of water, walk around the house, take the dog out to go to the bathroom, whatever it is that you need to do, give yourself a break or a transition period between each Zoom so you have yourself an opportunity. Another thing that is really upsetting to people in Zooms is the boundaries between work, home, private, personal, business is kind of blurred. And so we talked about this in last week with James Clear in his book on Atomic Habits. You want to develop a place. This place is where I work. It's not where I live. This is a part of my life. So develop a place so you can kind of establish those boundaries to be able to continue those boundaries for your family, for your personal life as well. So if you don't want to share a lot of information and you feel uncomfortable about doing Zooms, then pick a designated spot in your house. Only put up the part that you want them to see or the way you do it, and you kind of set that boundary up is a really, really good one. You can also go old school. Hey, you could write an email. You can even write a letter and do some things with it. Do we really need to do all those things? So those are kind of some things we're worried about Zoom. And so as a counselor, I want you to be aware that the fact that kids are probably fatigued in Zoom, they might not have the internet capability to do a Zoom. Like I was trying to reach a kid last night, and I found out that I use Google Voice a lot more during this. And what I would do it is try to call a parent, and I'd get a message, and then I wouldn't get a call back on it. One of the things that I noticed with Google Zoom is you can send a text message. And so I would send a text message saying, "This is Mr. Deacon. I need to reach so-and-so. Can they call me back at time?" And by sending that first text, then they call me back, and then I'm able to develop the relationship a little bit better. So, you know, a lot of people, and that kid I was talking to last night, I said, "Do you want to Zoom? Do you want to FaceTime? Do you want to talk about some things?" And he said, "No, I'd rather just talk on the phone. Our internet's not great." And so, you know, you got to find out what kids can actually do a Zoom and what kids can't because of the internet connection that they have. There's still a big inequity in terms of bandwidth and what kids have on the internet. So an audio version or a phone call or things that are more common to them is easier to do. So kind of look for that commonality. But the two things that I've taken away from this so far is we've got to be much clearer in our instruction and using video technology, but we can use it. And then the also one is Google Voice and how to use that. That's my podcast for today. How to use Zoom, Zoom fatigue, some tips and tricks that I've learned and from this article, bbc.com, on Zoom fatigue. Look it up. That's my podcast for today. Hope you enjoyed it. The video version of this will be up in a couple days. This is the audio version. Thanks. Have a great day.